Leia, one of the two Chit Chat chicks. And I'm just going to let you know right off the bat that A, there's no Edie today, so there won't be as much laughter. And B, I am recording on the balcony off of my bedroom, so you are probably going to hear some ambient noise from Beijing. Maybe some traffic, some wind. I'm surrounded by windows and it is slightly windy today. It's a beautiful blue sky day with fluffy clouds, and I want to be happy right now, and I'm feeling really vulnerable, and I don't know if this is the best time to be making a podcast, but I think maybe talking a little bit about vulnerability and some of the feelings that we don't let ourselves express easily is important. And I'm just going to share my feelings with you today on the podcast. So I thank you for choosing to listen and putting up with no Edie, and also, you know, going maybe a little bit into some deeper places for me today. So, you know, interestingly, last night I was up very late. I couldn't sleep, or I chose not to sleep, and I was reading the, if you can believe it, the August 2015 Real Simple magazine, because in the app, the Seattle Public Library app that I read magazines on, you can go, you know, into the history of magazines so you can catch up on all the old ones. And so I'm working my way forward from 2014 to 2022 with lots of magazines, including Oprah, Queen Oprah, and, you know, Real Simple, and I don't know, other ones. Oh, there's my computer. See? Let me turn that off. No notifications right now. So anyway, this August 2015 was, it was like the Bible of hacks and tips. Like if I just took, I would have 1,000 episodes worth of hacks and tips just from this magazine. And I just kept flipping, as you do on your iPad rather than the pages, the physical pages, and it went on and on and on. I just kept thinking, well, surely it's going to be over now. But then it was how to take care of your, you know, your elderly parents, and then how, you know, all the hacks for under the sink in the kitchen, and health insurance for, you know, the best deals, and it just never ended. And I lay in bed and just, you know, sipped my warm water with lemon while my sweetheart slept beside me. And I just remembered, I went back to my childhood, and I grew up across the street from one set of grandparents, and my other grandparents lived down the road on the same street, believe it or not, about 7 kilometers away. And sometimes when I was not well or I was feigning illness, my mommy would drive me to my Omi and Opa Rempel's house, and I would spend the day there. And that was exciting. I was always across the street at my other grandparents' place, and very, very frequently at my other grandparents as well. But for whatever reason, I spent my sick days there. And I remember coming across this cache of magazines in my grandparents' closet in the hallway. And it was like gold to me. I lay on the high bed in the guest bedroom and just read and read and read. And I think they were, you know, women's weeklies and I don't know what else. And I think maybe my Oma Rempel hid them from my Opa. That's why they were there. Or I don't know. But anyway, she had quite a collection. And that's where I learned loosey-goosey, lefty-righty, for a tip and a trick when you're opening a jar. Never forgot that. And so many other things. And, you know, as much as I want to be or I aspire to be domestic, and I really love reading these magazines about domesticity and cooking, somehow when it comes to the actual production of it, I'm less than interested. And that interests me too. In my imagination, I love it. Love cooking, love arranging things and decorating and, you know, I don't know. And then I just don't love it so much when it's staring me in the face. But that said, yeah, I went to bed late last night pondering those things. And as I often do, I have these very strong dreams. I inherited it from my mother that I never forget my dreams. So I wake up vividly remembering hours. I could talk for hours about my dreams, and they're usually fairly stressful. And it's where I believe that I think there must be some kind of collective unconsciousness, because I don't even know how some of the intricacies and sometimes the horrors even get into my consciousness, that I dream about these things, you know? It's very, very detailed and elaborate, and the plot lines are fascinating. Like, if I could get it down and write a book based on my dreams, it would be incredibly compelling. But that said, you know, in my waking life, this is why I like to, you know, I just love to laugh with my dear, dear friend Edie and with many of you, many of the listeners who are my friends and cousins. You know, my day life, I just want it to be happy and fun, and I choose to watch mostly lighthearted comedies, and, you know, I don't get into apocalyptic things or, you know, stressful science fiction, or even though I know a lot about history and I do read the news. Well, I used to read the news compulsively. I do less so now. But anyway, I really try to make my day life very, very happy. That said, one of the things that I wanted to talk about today, and I don't know, not come clean about, because I've talked about it before and many of you know me well enough to know this, is that I have this social anxiety. I've probably had it all my life, and I didn't recognize it until, well, I started to recognize it maybe when I went overseas after high school, and I went to, back in the days when, well, when I had a different, well, never mind. Back in the day, I went to a Bible school in Germany, and the first, and it was really quite a profound experience for me in many ways. And it was on Bodensee on Lake Constance in Germany. It was the Cape and Ray Bible School, and you know, it was a cool time in many ways. It was quite interesting, but the first semester, I was in this dormitory room with, I think, like 9 other women, varying ages from all over the world. And man, it was one of the hardest things that I've ever experienced, because I am good socially. I enjoy being with, or you know, I interact well. I don't, you know, I have the social graces most of the time, and I appear very functional, you know. But being in that room with all these women with varying needs and wants and thoughts and smells and everything else was very unsettling to me. I had a lower bunk, and I remember I had sort of draped these beautiful boutique prints around it so that I could have my privacy at times, but I could never block out the constant talking or even arguing. There was a fair bit of arguing, as I recall, and Yeah, it was. Oh, Charlotte's waving to me from the French door. She's just got up, even though it's, what time is it? 12:30 in the afternoon, and my teenager, who's about to graduate, has just woken up. But she can see I'm podcasting, so she's going to leave me alone. So anyway, it was tough. And I would get up, and I'm not, you know, I guess I'm a normal riser. I'm not I tend to be more of a late night person than I am an early riser, but I would get up at about 5:30 in the morning just so I could be the first person to use the bathtub, because I've always loved a good soak and it was private. So I would just soak in the tub, and then I would sit in the hallway back in the days when my back was not compromised. And, you know, just sit on the floor in the hallway. And that year, we were part of the idea of this Bible school was that you would read the entire Bible when you were there. And being the rather, what's the word? I was a serious kid and a big reader. I had already read the Bible in its entirety in the back fields of my, you know, where we grew up in Greendale whatever. I had done it, but I did it again, and just have such memories of that, and going for these long walks in the afternoon, which was our free time when we didn't need to be on campus, just by myself. There were some forested areas, and of course you could walk along the lake and you could see the Alps in the distance. And maybe that's when I started to realize that I'm quite a solitary person, that I enjoy my solitude, and a lot of people around is stressful. And I'm thinking about this right now because neighbors and friends of mine are nurturing all these lovely plants upstairs, like baby tomatoes and cucumbers, and they had posted on our WeChat text group the other day, come on up if you want, just knock on the door and come on up if you want a little seedling. And so I went and got a tomato last weekend, which I am nurturing, which is sitting right beside me right now. I keep moving it into different parts of the sunlight, and I don't know, the soil is, I haven't watered it, but the soil still seems so damp. I'm a little concerned about my baby tomato plant. But then 2 days ago, they posted that they had all these little spiderette babies from their spider plant. And so I texted back and said I'd love one, because I would. And now I can't bring myself to go upstairs and get it. And I ran into Heather, my friend, in the yard, in the apartment yard last night, with another friend of mine that teaches at our school, because this is expat life, right? You're in each other's pockets. Often, you know, my colleagues and friends and acquaintances, we live close together. We're in the same social circles. And maybe that's part of the social anxiety too, is your work life isn't so separate from your other life, your down life. And so I find that, you know, discombobulating sometimes, or quite often, frankly. Anyway, so, you know, Heather said, well, come on up tomorrow. And I said, yeah, I will. I'll pop by. And, you know, why can't I do it? I love these people. I'm happy to see them. Yet this anxiety keeps me from going up there right now. And that interests me, right? Social anxiety, it's a thing. I don't know. I'm sure many of you have it who are listening, and I'd be interested in hearing how you deal with it or you don't deal with it. I'm, you know, really tuned in as a teacher. I love to public speak. I love to be on stage. I love to act. And people that I'm close to in small groups, I love to be with them. But, you know, hard-pressed to find me at a party, other than the potlucks we often talk about sometimes. You know, I mean, and sometimes I'm fine. Sometimes I love it. But I also know that maybe some people find me perhaps standoffish, or, well, I don't know about that, because I'm warm when I see people. But they certainly know that I'm not super social, right? And then there's also that, you see, isn't this an interesting thing, like on Facebook and stuff, you see parties posted and, you know, people sharing their joy, and then you think, oh, well, I wasn't invited to that. And on one hand, you're relieved, or I'm relieved because I couldn't have gone, right? And on the other hand, it's, oh, it would have been nice to have been invited to that. So, yeah, I'm just thinking about that this early afternoon on a Saturday in Beijing. And speaking of Beijing, maybe some of my radiating anxiety is coming from what's happening here. And that is, we are not in lockdown. This is in no way Shanghai, in no way at all. And we hope it doesn't become that. But there are lots of things happening. One, we got a knock on our door today, you know, saying you need to sign this agreement that you'll abide by, in Chinese, you'll abide by all this epidemic protocol, and if you don't, you'll bear the consequences. Well, reluctant to sign that, yes, but at the same time, if you don't, what happens? I don't know. Like, I think we have to. So the have to part, let's talk about that for a minute, because I was going to do a podcast, and I've actually done it, but I'm not going to post it, called Beijing Blues. And the reason I'm not posting it is because the title, and because I don't want to talk so much about, I don't want to talk about anything political, because that puts me and my family in jeopardy. You know, we've been advised not to post anything on social media, and a lot of you who are, you know, in the chit chat coop or on Facebook may not hear me talking about what's actually happening in Beijing, because we're not meant to. So I'm going to spend a few minutes explaining a few things. One, you may ask, well, why are you not just leaving under such imposing circumstances that are happening right now in China and for us in Beijing? And that is because, and we can't go home this summer, which is heartbreaking, because our daughter Charlotte is graduating and she's going to go back on her own. The reason for that is because leaving is not hard. Coming back is challenging. If we get COVID, there's at least 90 days, maybe longer, that we cannot return back to the country. So our contracts would be null and void. We'd be out of work. Well, we need the work, right? We're getting close to retirement. Our daughters are both on their way to university, one this year and another in two. And we make a great income. We attend, we teach at a marvelous world-class international school that we love. And our youngest daughter loves it. She doesn't want to leave. She wants to graduate there as well. And so, you know, it's not like we can just pick up and go. Plus, we're different. Donna's American, I'm Canadian, so we can't just rock up and have jobs. So enough of that, right? That's why we're not leaving. What's happening now is there's what's called a soft lockdown, but it's at present not a lockdown. But most places are closed. Most places of business, including restaurants, you can get takeaway, but nothing else. The places that are open are grocery stores and wet markets that sell fruit and vegetables, and interestingly, TCM massage places and barber shops. You can get your hair cut and you can get a massage. So Don and I actually went and got a massage two nights ago, a foot massage, which was, whoo, was amazing. And then cupping, the moxibustion, you know, where they suction cups to your body, so it's to our calves and the bottom, the soles of our feet, and whoo, it was great. So, you know, that was nice. And last night we walked along the canal that runs through the city up to the Forbidden City in Tiananmen Square, and lots of people were just out picnicking, and they had their wine or their drinks, and it was quite crowded and festive, because people need to find places to gather, right? We need that. We need community. So in as much as I'm talking about social phobia, I recognize my need for people, that we all have it. And it was good, just, it's good to be among people, isn't it? Oh, doggy's back. Hang on. Don had taken Moon for a walk, but I'm just going to close the French doors for a minute. Oh, they're ajar. So, Yeah. Oh, the other thing that's happening is we have to do daily COVID testing. So we're not meant to be interacting with other people much, but you know, we line up in these big massive lineups. Actually, I try to go at times when it's not very busy, but, and you know, get a swab stuck down our throats every day. And that's just become normal. It's not a big deal. And there's one just down the road from us where you can just stop anywhere when you're walking and get one. Most public transportation, it's slowed down very, very much. So the streets are quite empty of cars, which is nice. yeah, it's odd. Times are odd. And and we are online teaching, for those of you who don't know that as well. So all of our work is online now. And as a teacher, that's hard, right? Because it's very different teaching. And as a learner, of course, it's even harder. It's just challenging. It's a little soul sapping, right? So all of this combined, I guess, has left me feeling, I don't know, a little bleak on this Saturday. And a good friend is leaving tomorrow. Good friend, Kyle. He and Kim are very, very close to us. And a couple of weeks ago, all entertainment has been shut down for a couple of weeks now. But Kyle and his friend, he's a professional jazz musician. They had a gig in one of our apartments at a friend's place. And there were about, I don't know, like 20 of us in the living room apartment. We, you know, had wine and some cocktails and some lovely hors d'oeuvres that our friend Linda and Marcelo had prepared. And because we're not meant to gather, you know, very much, and it was just sort of at the beginning of this before it was like super a concern, but they played. It was just this brilliant, brilliant performance. That lasted about an hour, and after each, or a set, I guess you'd call it, and after each song, like we didn't clap, we just snapped our fingers in appreciation, and it was just, you know, it felt like a speakeasy, or it was delightful. So yeah, things like that, I'm treasuring those experiences, and I am thinking about what I want to do. And Edie has made some great suggestions because she knows me well. And she's like, finish your novel. If you want to blog, you should be blogging every day, just short blogs. Do a crossword competition with somebody. So if anybody here does New York Times crossword puzzles, I'm addicted to them. We could try to do one like every day and just, I don't know, compare. I don't know what that even means, but she said, set up a jigsaw puzzle table. Well, she doesn't know how small our apartment is, but you know, that would be, I do love puzzling. So there might be a way. She had some other just fabulous suggestions about, you know, getting out there, doing some e-courses, motivational things. Yeah. Yeah. You know, pursuing some ventures. So I appreciate that, Edie. Edie is just truly one of the best people in the world. So I know this podcast isn't as exciting or as fun as when she's on it. But I wanted to catch up with you all and kind of let you know what's happening here in Beijing. And, you know, reflect a little bit on how it's okay to feel these things and explore your feelings. So I thank you for being the recipient of my exploration today. Not sure where to go with it. Not sure if I'm going to go get that spiderette plant today or not. Yeah, we'll see, right? One day at a time, managing, sometimes thriving, sometimes not. And I just think, like we talked about in a podcast a few weeks ago, we just need to be real, you know, and say it like it is and define our feelings, explore what we're feeling, name it maybe, and then find a way to think the next best thought, right? To get on with it. And do something that enriches ourselves and or others. And yeah, just make some goodness, be the light. So I don't know what being the light is going to look like today, but I think I'm going to end here and going to drink another cup of coffee, even though it's afternoon already. I got up a little bit late. I'm going to do some stretching, go get my COVID test, go for a little walk, and plan out a meaningful day. So I encourage you to do the same. If you haven't yet, please join the Chit Chat Coop on Facebook. It's a wonderful place to come together with other people who listen to the podcast, but also just to commune with each other, ask questions, get advice. We encourage you to do that. We'd like our Facebook page to be more of a page where we interact with each other. There's the Chit Chat Challenge of the week every week. And so I'm going to say this week, your challenge is to think about what makes you happy. Make it into a list. Share it on the Chit Chat Coop on Facebook, but put it somewhere for yourself so that when you're in a bit of a downward turn, you can look at some of those things and say, oh, I'm going to start a new novel, or I'm going to have a bath, or I'm going to go for a walk, or, you know, as trivial as those things may seem, they can enrich us, they can fill our soul, they can give us some renewed hope. I just thought of another thing. I'm going to watch something funny today. Not sure what that's going to be yet, but I'm going to watch a comedy. Sounds good, right? Okay, everybody, have a wonderful week. Wishing you all peace, happiness, and community. Community in whatever way that you experience that. Okay, bye-bye. Clack, clack.